Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, and if you go to mobiusstrippress.com, you can get some of my content, and the rest of it might be on, and it is, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The number to call in is 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK. If you do call in, I just ask that you mind the three C's. They be confidential, civil, and concise. And so I have a question out there, and I would beg anybody to call in so that we could have this interesting conversation. Does the Constitution really protect religious freedom? Is that true? I don't know. I'll let you tell me whether that's true or not, and I'll let you cite it, because that's where we get to read a little bit of the Bill of Rights. Anyway, this week, I believe CPAC is wrapping up, and I'm not sure if Sheriff Mack is going to be free today, but he will be calling in on Monday if he's not. At least that's what he alluded to. But I do know this. I know Trump spoke. The market is heading back up, and that there seems to be a lot of really happy people about CPAC. And I'm very disappointed, and I'm somewhat disgusted, because it seems like another year goes by and there is yet to be a real conversation in how we can reclaim the Republic and how we can save the Constitution. I don't know. I think it's kind of like the party thing. Parties are really just parties. They're just things to, you know, make people feel good. They keep you distracted, but they don't really offer a tangible solution to address the real problems. And the real problem is that the federal government can't tell us exactly all the things that they want to do and can do, and the supreme power. As I've already read the words of Madison and Jefferson, Hamilton, and others, that the fact is the federal government is constrained by the Constitution. And if you've been listening to the show, you know this. So I'm really disappointed that CPAC is still yet to offer a solution-based sight or vision for moving forward. And I, you know, in all honesty, this is the problem I face in dealing with a lot of people in, you know, trying to bring them on board, because they have their own interests, whether it be an organization that was founded almost 60 years ago to fighting communism. And if you look at how close we are to being communist, they're already having conversations of single-payer healthcare and so forth. It seems like that if you were going to give them a grade, A, B, C, D, E, or F, or, you know, E for effort, what would you give them? Considering how far we have slid, do you think they deserve an A or a B? And yet they seem to try to maintain this relevance that, the world's coming to an end. And it is coming to an end, but they don't have a tangible solution. And a lot of these organizations don't. It's time to, I think, put aside your self-interest. And I've been saying this. As a matter of fact, that's what the framers had to do. They had to put aside their self-interest and their differences and come together on the basic and fundamental principles. And for us to save our Constitution, we have to put aside our differences. We have to put aside our self-interests. And these organizations and entities and people that are not willing to do that, guess what? They're the problem. So I will just say that I do have people jumping on board. I do have people that have been objective in looking at Republic Review, and they're going, you know, this absolutely makes sense. You've placed the argument. As a matter of fact, I have just really taken words from Madison, Jefferson, and the founders, or the framers. Technically, in my paradigm, the founders are the states, because the founders are the owners of the institution. and the institution being the Constitution and what it creates, the founders being the states, and they're perpetual entities. So even though they may have been old and existing at the time in creating the federal government, they are still a relevant entity as they continue to live and exist, and we've added more to them. And there is no reason why we don't even add more. There's a huge constitutional argument for several states to start splitting and creating new states. Washington, California, when you get to a point where a population center within a state wants to turn their back on the rest of their people and oppress them, then you absolutely have a constitutional reason, because that's not supposed to happen. A majority, unless it's a super majority, they cannot oppress people. And that's what's happening in these progressive states. And I believe there's more than an academic argument, because it's Article 4, Section 4 in the Constitution. And I've been talking about this, and I'll get more into this again. But we have to start allowing these states to start splitting up and freeing themselves from the oppressors within them. And so anyway, I've had a lot of people lately, and there's a person that is in California that actually has an interest in a movement that was very much like what I was thinking back in the 90s. And so I'll talk more about that later. I'm hoping to integrate him, his ideas, and, you know, his resources and so forth into Republic Review, just like everybody else. This is not a G.R. Mobley, you know, entity. This is, I'm an appliance that works with everybody in promoting the Republic Review, the audit of the Constitution, and bringing us back towards an honest dialogue at the state level of what that federal government should be doing. And that's what has to happen, folks. It may be a tough conversation. There may be some real tough decisions, maybe even tougher than this North Korea deal. And speaking of this North Korea deal, I know that's in the news, but the only thing I want to say is, had we had people that were abiding by the Constitution, we would never be in this space today. I'm telling you, we would never be in this space today, because the Clintons would never have been able to give away our most precious secrets to China so that they could proliferate this, or, you know, share this technology with others, so that we are now dealing with rogue nations underneath China's umbrella. Because that's what Iran and all these other little nations, Korea and so forth, they're rogue nations that China has been supporting. So China doesn't have to confront us directly. And isn't that brilliant? Anyway, one other thing I wanted to talk about. I did notice that I believe this is the inaugural weekend where I think Fox is jumping into the Article 5 convention, or the convention of states, because I believe Mark Levin starts his show this weekend. And I always find it interesting how you know, half-baked concepts. And I'm not trying to insult anybody, because to be honest with you, the folks that are in the COS organization or project, and the folks that are in the Article 5 efforts, Friends of the Article 5, there's lots of different groups. I don't know if they're all merged together. There's people that just, you know, want to get their name or, you know, a little mark on the Constitution. This is my amendment. And the nice thing is, and I'll give them credit, they're at least trying. They're at least taking effort and pointing out that things are really bad in Mordor. And when I say Mordor, that's a Mike Churchism. I believe he coined that phrase, or he created that metaphor of the Washington, D.C., Mordor on the Potomac, or Washington, D.C. metaphor. So anyway, it seems like Fox is jumping into the fray by bringing Mark Levin in. And so my question is Mark Levin going to start promoting and elevating what he wants to do to the Constitution? Because what I want to do is I want to save it. I don't want to put a mark on it. I want to preserve it and save it. And I want the states to be the ones to say what's going to happen and what isn't going to happen. But I'm up to a hard break. And with the hard break means I get to have an opportunity to share my sponsors with you. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Rippey Homes is a family-owned business that has been building homes in the Spokane area for over a decade. For years, they've offered their customers an array of construction projects and services, but due to market demands, they now exclusively focus building high-efficiency homes and business offices, offering custom turnkey solutions for customers seeking to save money on operational costs while enjoying the latest innovations and construction technology. They understand many of these features can be expensive, but this is why they work closely with a team of leading designers to integrate the details and options that suit your needs. When it comes to translating designs into reality, the artisans they employ make this happen. If you're interested in building a cutting-edge dream home or office, then contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. Thank you. Hey, folks, it's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I have learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Vaughn Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money on just any good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist like Dr. Vaughn Tracy. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Vaughn Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I ask you to give Dr. Vaughn Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And let me wrap up what I wanted to talk about. And that, in addition with CPAC, was all of the conversations about guns, about protecting our Second Amendment rights and protecting kids and safety and so forth. And it really, this is a tragic paradigm that we are living under, because if people do not realize that well, almost 60 years ago, maybe a little bit more than that, policies and institutions were created, policies were changed that literally put us on a path of social engineering. And it even goes back farther than that. I wrote an article on this on Facebook that we're and I mentioned this, I think, earlier. We're 7 years away from celebrating the supposedly, or actually, I should say, mourning and lamenting the monkey trial, the Scopes trial. And if you understand the ramifications of what happened in that, that set things in motion, and the academics of the Fabian Society that had every intent to change the direction of this nation towards a subjugation and towards communism and debasing our morals, they put a plan together, they followed Plato, and it's by design. I can't say that they had every play written out, but every time a certain reaction, they knew what to do. And some of these things, they cause reaction because Mr. Higgs, Robert Higgs, wrote an interesting book from Crisis to Leviathan. And he argues and he proves his point that if you create a crisis and you come along with, well, hey, here's the opportunity of this. And J.P. Morgan is renowned for that because he was the one that did the run on banks and came in. And the solution was the Federal Reserve. Isn't it interesting how somebody can create a problem and have a solution in hand? I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to create a problem. I'm actually trying to provide a solution, because all the problems that have been instilled and are baking currently in our government and in our society, they are baking. They're baking to destroy us. If we do not address these problems, then when they go, they will go. And so will our liberties. So will our constitution. So will our way of life. And so I think it's very critical to kind of put this into context that today so many people are talking about guns, but they're not talking about the real cause of this. They say they're talking about the real problem. The real problem is not mental health. The real problem is subverting our society, debasing it, and allowing the secular progressives to get away with perverting our kids and so forth. And so I've said this enough. And it's an indictment that at CPAC, they're not talking about this to this degree. They're not even really pointing the finger. They're just reacting because the secular progressives have been able to create such a scenario that they control the narrative, or at least they think they are. They're not controlling my narrative. And I was making a comment today. I truly believe that reading Dr. Thomas Sowell's books were really something that helped me shift my paradigm and starting how I looked at society in a macro view, instead of allowing them to drill, you know, suck me into a micro so that I'm interacting with them at their level. And not anymore. That's not happening anymore. As I mentioned, and I believe we'll probably have him on before we go into break, let me kind of give you a background on John Chambers. He's actually called in once before, and I've had him on my show a few times in the Spokane area. John started teaching the Constitution in 1991, mostly to neighborhood groups, but he's managed to teach a few high school classes as well. We, as he's saying, we do not teach about the Constitution, he said, going through it word by word, section by section. We study the document itself. When he moved to Grants Pass, Oregon, he started the Josephine County Constitution Study Group. He's not alone. There's a lot of these others, and I'm going to have Douglas Gibbs, who's doing something very similar. He has his Constitution Association down in Southern California. There's somebody, I'm going to figure out who it is. It might be Mike Pierce or somebody up in Idaho. If you have a local group, by the way, that has a leader that is teaching the Constitution, going through it line by line and so forth, tell him to call me. Tell him to reach out and contact me, because I'd like to talk to him and bring him on the air so that other people can get a hold of this content. You don't have to, if you have an area that is starving for this kind of education, these guys have written content that you can just quickly use and adapt to a curriculum. I know Douglas Gibbs has, and I believe John Chambers has as well. As a matter of fact, I know he does. In 2017, he started sending daily emails to his group. Friends told friends, and soon this list became national. He teaches email by email on the Constitution and what it means to your life. His national website is itsyourconstitution.com. It's that simple, isn't it? Itsyourconstitution.com. Now, you can subscribe to his list through that site. And Mr. Chambers' study guide going through the Constitution section by section is used by private schools and by homeschoolers across the country. And I believe on his site, he can give you the information you need to buy his content on Amazon.com. And so with that, and here's some bad news today. Today alone, Bezos made $1 billion. And it's not that he's earning that money, but it's just... it's sad to see somebody that hates capitalism so much and is working so hard to take away your liberties is making that kind of money to use it for that purpose. And it's just like Bill Gates, just like Soros. It's just like all these other billionaires that are deeply entrenched with subscriptions and parts of our lives. And it just, it makes me upset that they're able to make that kind of money and we're paying them. And well, at least I don't, but it's so many people pay them and they just, you know, it's supporting progressive causes. Do you have Windows? Well, how about going to Linux, finding a good Linux, whether it be CentOS, if you want to go free, Red Hat. There's lots of other solutions out there. You don't have to make these people richer. As a matter of fact, I don't use Amazon. I found out that by using Jet.com, I actually got the stuff cheaper. Every time I look, I did this for a year and a half, and I got my stuff cheaper and quicker. And I had just as impeccable return policy and everything else. I mean, it's incredible. And you're actually buying from a single provider. You're not buying from a marketplace of a whole bunch of little people. And that's nice that there's little people making money, but I prefer doing my business with Jet. One, I save money. It's more efficient. And two or three, sorry, and three, I'm not supporting Bezos and I'm not supporting the progressive movement. And I do not believe, because I believe Jet is owned by Walmart, I don't believe they're necessarily the dragon or the, you know, the huge monster that's supporting the globalist agenda and trying to push us over the edge. Not like Gates is, not like Bezos and a lot of these other big high-tech new age companies, Facebook and so forth. I mean, all of these guys are supporting the elitist ideology and they are looking to subjugate us. So with that, I know I'm going to be coming into a break, but when I come back from break, Mr. Chambers will probably be dialing in. So he should be coming in online sometime shortly thereafter. But if he doesn't, I'm prepared, because I'm going to go down this path of talking about how important it is to comply to the Constitution and holding the federal government accountable to that and keeping them in check. That was precisely what Madison did. You heard me read about the Kentucky and the Virginia resolutions, him and Jefferson, how they took action. Those guys were true leaders. These organizations today that are self-serving, they're not leading. Leaders do not self-serve, and they don't create entities that self-serve. And so with that, there it is. There's that that music of Copeland. And so I will be right back after a few words from our sponsors, and I expect John Chambers will be back with us as well. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. Rippey Homes wants you to know the process from start to finish in building your custom home can take up to 2 years, especially if you're looking for real estate and have not settled on the design of your home. There are a lot of details in each step of this process and a plethora of options in the Passivhaus designs that Rippey Homes specializes in. If you want to get your custom home done right, then working with the Passivhaus experienced builder with an unmatchable reputation, then you need to contact Rippey Homes. Again, the process can take a long time, so getting the lead time and learning your options as well as getting into the schedule will help you get that much closer to obtaining your dream custom home. So check out Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive of businesses who are supporting to undermine our Republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so we're back, and I do actually have Mr. Chambers on the line, and as I've already given you a background on what he does, let me just jump straight in and drill him with the question, how is business, how is teaching the Constitution today?
Teaching the Constitution is fun. It always is that. I get emails from all kinds of people across the country about this question or that question, and sometimes I have to research it, and sometimes I can just answer it straight off. But then I turn it into an email that goes out to everyone, because I figure if somebody's got the question, then that means other people have the question too. So it's always fun, and you had just mentioned before the break about Jet.com, and I had never heard of that before. So I went and started looking it up, and I'm now looking it up and seeing what's there. So there we are. Thank you very much, GR.
No. Actually, I only did a cursory bio for you, but what is it, the content? Let's talk about, because we've talked about it before, but this is a whole new audience. What is that content? Do you have a book and what?
Well, the website, which only has a few pages on it, but I'm constantly saying, okay, I'm going to put more pages up. using my emails as the basis for most of it.
Right.
But I have the Constitution book that I wrote when I was at a private high school in Southern California, and in fact, almost right next door to Mr. Gibbs, without knowing that he was there, and he without knowing that I was there. But from that, I was teaching. So I was teaching this class, and I looked around for a study guide for them to use. But there wasn't anything. I mean, every study guide I looked at had some kind of a slant to it. It wasn't just here's straight, here's the Constitution, here's what it says, word for word. So I had to start writing one. And over a period of years, I had different classes of students come in, and we'd try it out, and something didn't work, and we'd have to change it, and something worked really well, so we made sure we kept it, and so on, until finally, after about 4 years or so, I had a book that you just set down in front of a high school kid, recognizing that 25 years ago, high school vocabulary was a little bit better than it is today, but you could just set it down in front of a kid that was interested, and he would be able to just go through it and get the Constitution. A number of people have. I get emails from them with regularity.
Right.
And from that, then I moved to Oregon because it was because I was living in California, please. So I moved to Oregon. And we started up a group here, and very interestingly, one of my very first people that was in the group was Sheriff Gil Gilbertson, who is one of the constitutional sheriffs, and he one of the beginning members of the Constitutional Sheriffs Association. So I've had a number of people coming through. I've had a number of elected officials that have come through my class, I don't really call it a class. I just facilitate. They read it, and they have questions, and then they discuss it, and all that sort of thing. And I kind of keep it online. I don't really teach it because you can't really teach it. But you can learn it, but you can't really teach it. So.
Right, but so let me jump in here because having a little preview of talking to you before, I think it kind of helps shed some light here. When was the first time you dabbled with the Constitution?
Well, it wasn't of my own volition.
Yeah, okay.
I was 13, and my father sat me down and said, "You are not going to waste this summer." And he gave me one of the little composition books, the black and white squiggly covers, and on the left-hand side I would write the Constitution in its original language, and on the facing page I would translate it into modern English as I understood it. My 13-year-old modern English.
Right.
So I went through the entire Constitution. During that summer, and wrote out, and at that time there weren't 27 amendments; there were only 24 or something. And by the time I was done with it, he was actually surprised that I had done it, and he said, "Well, what can I do? What would be a nice reward for this?" And he was expecting me to say a new bike or something like that. But I wanted a week in the Smithsonian, so he arranged that, and it was a wonderful week.
I'll bet it was. And so, parents, if you don't have plans for your kids this summer, this is might be a good opportunity to have them do some self-learning. And then you might want to actually get Mr. Chambers' book so that you can then have them kind of go through it and then do a kind of a reality check to see, you know, how they translated what the Constitution said based on his curriculum and material and so forth. I also wanted to give you a heads up that I did let Sheriff Mack know that he could call at any point in time, because, and I, without him even calling, if you live in Arizona, you know somebody in Arizona, you need to support Sheriff Mack. We need to get resources to getting this man in office, because we need constitutional warriors in office. We do not need people that are self-serving, that are going into their service, their public service, to make millions. And if you look at the bank worth, or the, you know, the worth of the congressman from A to Z, they're all worth millions, and that's why they're there. It has nothing to do with them really serving you. And the reason they get away with this, and I've talked about this before, and forgive me, John, for going on, but the reason they get away with this is because you, your problem may be abortion, and the person in front of you or your neighbor may be immigration, and the other problem may be the IRS, and the other problem may be healthcare, Common Core. And so we're not succinct in telling them it's the Constitution. You must comply, get rid of all this. And by doing that, by coming together in one succinct voice, we can actually become the fountain of power that the people are supposed to be, and direct our representatives to doing our job. And so anyway, I digress. Go ahead, John.
Oh, that's fine. No, that's fine. And when you were saying that, you know, we need congressmen that don't go in there to get rich, and there are some who do that, but I've also spoken to some who are just ignorant of what the Constitution is.
Right.
They just do not know. I mean, for instance, and this is just as a complete aside, up here in Oregon, the fellow who is our state representative also came to one of my meetings it was a group for him to talk to vote for him and stuff. And he saw what we were doing here. He was so impressed with that. He owns the local radio station as well. So once a week for a period of, it must have been at least 2 years, we as the Constitution Study Group went in and we did an hour of Constitution study, and I'm still surprised. We finally ended it off about a year ago, and I'm still surprised there are people who come up to me and go, "Oh, are you that John Chambers that was on the radio about the Constitution and so on?" But that was, now I digress, because where I was going to go with that was he who is the state representative actually sat in on some of our meetings, and as we went over the material, his eyes would get wide and he would go, "That's what that means? Oh, my." And he suddenly became aware of what it was. And so there's a number of them who I think are well-meaning. They really want to do the right thing, but they don't know the Constitution, so they don't know what the right thing is. They are completely unaware that it's a as you put it, a contract, and as I put it, a charter, which is forms this national government, and it is the states who are the sovereigns, and yep, the federal government is not the sovereign. The federal government is the for lack of a better word, the slave.
Right, they're the subcontractor. And John, let me interrupt you real quick because we've got to go to a hard break. So if you just stay tuned and hang on, John, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. So thank you very much, folks, and please stay tuned. This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile,
I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
Thousands of people each month are moving to what is referred to as the Redoubt area. That's R-E-D-O-U-B-T. If you're tired of insane liberal policies and you have a growing concern in the ideological makeup of your community, you should do what many others are doing and look into joining us here in the Redoubt area. If you settle on moving to the Spokane area, you need to contact Rippey Homes to help you develop the ideal solution that can help you reduce your operational costs and reduce your dependence on the nation's aging infrastructure. Rippey Homes offers a full package service, including real estate, Passive House designers with an array of options to help you blend in with your surroundings. Why risk what is important, your family and your home? So check out Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com in the heart of the Redoubt country. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states, in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So where were we, John? I think we were talking about your exploits and how was teaching the Constitution these days. The real reason I was asking that are you finding a lot of people that are becoming either apathetic or passionate? Or, in other words, have we become really polarized regarding the Constitution?
I don't think we're polarized regarding the Constitution. I think that there are those who are apathetic, and they are apathetic because they do not know what the Constitution is. They go, oh, my vote doesn't count, da-da-da-da. But there are so many things that they could be doing. As is, for instance, in my county, my county has volunteer advisory boards. there's an advisory board for, which is the there's the water district, and there's the school board. There's lots of little advisory boards. You don't get paid for them, but you sit on them and you vote and you have a voice. I'm on three boards, and I also go to the local school board every month, and I stand up and I talk about the thing that I want to talk about, whatever it is. Sometimes it's the Constitution, sometimes not. For instance, that if you go to it's not up on the website. It's one of those things I was going to put up on the website. There's a little video I did for the local high school about for an assembly for Constitution Day. And a little later, a few months later, or a year later or so, I went to the school board and I showed it to them, and I got it approved for use in all schools. So we have a Constitution Day, you know, activity, assembly in all the schools, and it's using the video that I made, which is, I mean, there's things that you can do. You don't have to be apathetic because you don't know what it is. But when you find out what it is, when you learn what it is, then you get on fire and you start doing things. And it's not necessarily teaching the Constitution. It's going and being on the water district board. It's going and being on the school board. It's going and being on whatever.
Right, but if I can interject, the reason I use the word bipolar is I wouldn't say the apathy is the opposite side of the passionate lover of the Constitution. It just seems like we are fighting the secular progressive curriculum in trying to teach and indoctrinate the children and our future governors or government to believe that the Constitution is obsolete, that we need to get rid of it, and that there is this upgrazing the army to fight and discard the Constitution. And it'll be, I guess, the gray hairs against these kids that are coming into their own in power within society of a bipolar conflict. Am I reading too much into that?
Yeah, I think so. And, well, of course, one of the boards that I'm on is the Mental Health Advisory Board. So bipolar is an immediate thing that I go, no. Let's not use that. There are people who do have problems, and they are internal problems like that. But what we have is something that's very external. It's a group of people over there who want to destroy us, and we want to, I'm not going to say destroy them, we want to turn them. So they want to turn us, we want to turn them. It's not within your own head. It is something that's going on. It's a campaign. It's a battle. We can use all different kinds of metaphors, but they strike with, oh, it's all the NRA's fault, and we strike with, are you kidding? You know.
Well, to me, it's ideological. There is the ideology of. Go ahead.
No, I've said absolutely it is.
Yeah, so.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Did you read my post regarding the tangled web we weave on my Moby Strip press page?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't see that one.
Oh, okay, yeah, so I recently put it up. I think probably put it up maybe either this week, but it was since last week's shooting. I believe it was Wednesday last week, I've been railing on this whole social engineering thing, and that this is the fruit that we sow, or this is what we're reaping what we sow by making an immoral nation and by creating a society that has been debased, perverted, and believes in all of these, you know, perversions. And when I say perversions, it's not just in the sexual context. It's also in what the Constitution is, what individual liberty is, basically teaching these kids that they're entitled to do whatever they think they want to do. And they seem to cling to, you know, the most base things of life that there is, of course, because they're young, they're immature, and they don't understand. But it is almost like child abuse of what we're doing to our school systems and how the curriculum is basically weaving these kids into these, you know, I'll just say I'm not looking forward to this new wave of kids coming out of the Common Core curriculum. If you look at the millennials, I mean, there's some good millennials, but a lot of them are just like they're completely lost. These kids are going to be far worse. So,
well, I can't. I don't argue with anything you said there. That's exactly right. I agree with it all. And in fact, the last week or so, I've been doing on my daily emails. There've been a number of them, have been about education. And first of all, of course, the federal government shouldn't be in education at all because it's not in the Constitution. And
right.
So, you know, from there we just go downhill.
Right.
So a number of my emails have been on that. We're both focused in on that, and it's something that that does need to be addressed and handled, because otherwise, you're right. You know, we are one generation away from slavery.
Right. And one of the things I make mention in the article, so I'd ask you to go read it when you get a chance and make a comment. But in my article, I talk about we're only 7 years away from the dreaded anniversary of the Scopes trial. I mean, that's how far we've gone down this path of changing from a moral society that, you know, embraced Christian concepts and beliefs and use the Bible, taught morals, and I've talked about this as well, that Alexis de Tocqueville noted that it wasn't because our nation had all of these laws of behavior, it was because we were committed to Christianity that we behaved well. And I think the adage that came from that is America is great because America is good. In other words, they behave, you know, they mind their churches and their P's and Q's, and that's why America's great. And so, anyway, I just ask that you read that.
No, you're absolutely right. And it is, as Thomas Paine said, it is the constitution of the people that determines whether or not the government is oppressive, not the constitution of the government. I mean, it's delightful that we do have a constitution of our government, which is, you know, what it is.
It is what it is.
But, yep. but if the constitution of the people is not up to maintaining that a virtuous people, because it takes a virtuous people to be able to maintain that form of government,
yep.
Then we're going to lose it. And you're exactly right on that. And that's not something that's within the government's purview. That is something that we as citizens have to do. It is something that we as parents and neighbors and living in your county and, you know, getting onto those boards and stuff like that.
Right.
That if you can go out there and just start making your presence known a little bit and talking to people and saying, no, this is not right, or it's, you know. And going out there, and you know what I found is the most interesting thing about all this is you just go out there and you make friends. When you have friends, suddenly you know people in places where something can get done.
Right. At the local level, that is critical and that's important. I still subscribe to the only way we're going to get government out of our schools, out of our healthcare, and out of every facet of our life is that we have to force Republic Review. We have to force a state to initiate the audit, and then once we've got one state, we will definitely have other states coming on board, because it's just a matter of educating a few of the electorate and the legislatures. I believe that there are some states out there that have great legislatures that will, when they have the epiphany, they'll come on board. I'm really close to hitting the hard wall here, John. And so what I'd like to do, I know you have some time down the road, so maybe on another Friday you can give me a call back, and let's talk about Republic Review. And if you've got some comments on that article, by all means, give me that, if you would.
I absolutely would. I enjoy your being on this program with you, and I will call back. I'll put it on my calendar.
All right.
At 3:30 on Friday.
Okay.
I got a date.
Okay. Thank you so much, John, for dialing in. Folks, we're out of time here, and what we need to do is let you have a good weekend. And with that, I will just say this, that we can't do this alone. We absolutely need your help. And in doing that, in helping educate people, we will reclaim the Republic. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm out of here, and we'll talk to you on Monday. Have a good weekend.